Blog Talk Radio.
Locker room with you guys tonight because we have another fabulous topic to talk about. For those who don't know, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely geared towards teaching young aspiring players the mental, moral, and academic obligations of the game. And unfortunately, these are things that a lot of kids end up shooting themselves in the foot with during their career. I know that at points in my career, there were times that I wasn't as well up on some of the mental, moral, and academic responsibilities that I was supposed to fulfill as a player. So that is what we're geared towards. We come into the locker room every Tuesday and Thursday night faithfully, and we usually either come in with a teaching topic or we come in with a guest. And tonight we have a great teaching topic about blessing others while waiting for yours. And it may be a term or, you know, a phrase that most people aren't familiar with, and I'll get into why the phrase is that way, why this is such a great topic tonight. I'll also get into the fact that this is a chapter in the Before You Go Pro book, and we will read a snippet of the book where we talk about blessing others while waiting for yours. We want to talk about how a player responds when he is not maybe the coach's first pick, you know, how a player responds when he is not the first option as far as being a receiver in the receiver route tree, you know, or maybe he's a running back and he's not getting as many carries as another player. We want to talk about how you guys respond to that. And what you'll learn through tonight's show is that if you respond the right way, you may even find yourself in a better position than the person's spot who you end up taking. So I want to cover all that tonight in the locker room. This is a topic that needs to be touched upon more. And the reason why this topic needs to be touched upon is because in a sport, the depth chart is everything. And the depth chart is never more critical than on the football field. And the reason why is just because the nature of the game can take a guy off the field in a matter of minutes. You know, you may have somebody who you think is going to be your starting quarterback all year, and you find out on the first play of training camp that that guy is not only not going to play for the start of the year, but he might not play for the entire season. So whoever is the next man up has to be ready to go. Whoever the next man up is has to be ready to answer the call and ring that bell and come through for his team. So this is such a critical topic, you guys. The other reason why this is so critical is because a lot of guys tend to get depressed or they get down on themselves when things don't go their way right out of the gates. So you may have worked all off season. You know, you may have put in the work that you needed to become a starter on that high school team or that college team, but for whatever reason, you don't get that call right out of the gates. You cannot go into a lull. You cannot go into the depths of depression because things didn't turn out your way in your timing. Because if you do that, you're not going to be prepared when the time comes for you to get your shot. So, you know, this is tonight's topic, and we'll be bringing about some different examples and making some points on why this is so critical, and also equipping you young players with ways to position yourself to be that next man called up. Because you guys know as well as I do, the more competitive the sport gets and the higher you go up the ladder of success, the depth chart tends to get bigger and bigger. So you may only have two people on your depth chart at your high school. But when you get to that major college or you get a chance to play some pro ball, there it may be as far deep as four or five kids in front of you. So, you know, you definitely want to make sure you play your cards right so that even if you're not the number one guy, you're not far from behind him. You know, a matter of fact, you want your coach to be glancing on the sidelines so much that it's only a matter of time until he calls your number. So, you know, for those who didn't get a chance, we've actually had some amazing shows lately. And the last one, if you didn't get a chance to hear Coach Kim Peralta from Sacred Heart Cathedral in the San Francisco Bay Area, please check out that archive show. You can find it by going to www.beforeyougopro.com. Click on the little microphone at the bottom of the homepage. And Coach Peralta just came and laid it all on the line last Thursday. This is a coach who is well-known throughout California, well-respected. He has coached Division I-A kids, NFL kids, you know. So this is somebody that knows their stuff, over 30 years of experience in coaching high school football. And he really gave us some great food for thought last week in the locker room. So if you didn't get a chance to hear Coach Kim Peralta, check out that show. And then also this upcoming Thursday, we've got a great show planned for you with a young man by the name of Dustin Woods. And he's a former D1A player, but he's got a unique testimony. And he actually played his cards right. And I talk to you young kids about this all the time, is when you get people to like you and you network the right way, you never know who's going to give you an opportunity. And after his playing career, he actually got the opportunity to be a strength and conditioning coach for an Olympic speed skating team. So we're going to bring him in the locker room Thursday, let you tell you guys about his Olympic experience and then also about his football career as well. So definitely some great content for you guys to check out in the locker room show and also on our website. For tonight, when we're talking about blessing others while waiting for yours, one thing that you got to understand, and this is only for the serious football players that I'm talking to here, sometimes we got to put the ego aside. We're all at some point or time in our football career going to have to back somebody up. Now, that may be as you start your career as a young player and you're learning the game, or it may be as you're finishing your career and you're mentoring a young up-and-coming, possibly a young up-and-coming superstar. You know, we're all at some point in time, if we play long enough, going to be behind somebody on the bench. And the way that you carry yourself, the way that you show professionalism and a business savvy about yourself will determine how fast you get your opportunity, if you get your opportunity at all. So, you know, a lot of times we think that, only the scrubs are the ones on the bench or the guys who aren't that good. And in a game that is so competitive, like football, there are always good players, you guys, always good players that are waiting just by the phone. They're waiting. Every year when the NFL does its cuts right before the regular season, those guys, those 200-some-odd guys, are waiting by the phone. They're working out late hours of the night, early hours in the morning, and they're waiting by the phone to take your spot. You know, the kid who doesn't get the scholarship right out of high school and he goes to a junior college, he is waiting to get his shot. So, you know, it's not always the scrub who is the one on the bench. Timing is everything, you guys. Timing is everything. And a lot of times it's just how the ball rolls or how the dice rolls on whether or not you're the first one out the gate. Think of some of these players. When you think of guys like an Aaron Rodgers, a guy like a Steve Young, a guy like Terrell Owens, these are guys that are probably all going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But these are all guys that had to sit on the bench behind somebody else or had to play second fiddle behind somebody else before they got their shot. Aaron Rodgers was on the bench behind Brett Favre for 3 years in Green Bay before he got the call. Steve Young was on the bench for 4 years behind Joe Montana, another Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens was within the shadows of Jerry Rice for 4 years. And it's all about how you buy your time. It's all about how you kind of wait within the wings, you know. And so many guys, and I've been there myself, we didn't buy our time the right way. We didn't take being the second guy the right way, and we didn't play our cards right. And what happens is you end up shooting yourself in the foot and potentially losing an opportunity. So tonight's topic is so big for the locker room. Because, once again, this is something that affects all of us as young football players, and we all are just waiting for our shot. As the second-string guy, you're only one play away. And all of us in the offseason are working to be number one, but not all of us can be number one. I always attach some slides to you guys, and some of you guys may be able to see these slides as I'm talking tonight in the locker room, and one of them has a picture of the Cleveland Browns the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks during training camp last year. And there's probably about five guys in this picture. Not all of them can be the number one guy under the center. Somebody's got to be number two, three, and four. But what's the difference between the number two guy and everybody else? The number two guy is the guy that the coach may feel is just as worthy as the one. And he knows in the back of his head that his one may go down at any minute, and I may have to play the rest of my season with my number two guy. So I got to trust my number two guy just as much, if not more, because he doesn't know when he's going to get in the game. He may not get in the game for all season, but when he does, it's a ball game. He may not get in the game all season, but when he does, it's the Super Bowl. So I got to trust my number two. A lot of NFL teams put a veteran at their number two spot just so that if the number one guy goes down, that high-priced rookie, the season doesn't go to hell in a handbasket. We've got a proven vet in number two that I know is prepared to step in because he's a vet. So when you look at guys like Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young, Terrell Owens, Colin Kaepernick, you know, even young Jameis Winston, these are all guys who had to sit and watch. Jameis Winston, who is probably the hottest thing in college football right now, outside of Johnny Manziel, who just left college football, Jameis Winston is the redshirt freshman. And tell me if anybody's had a season this sweet. The redshirt freshman that just won the Heisman Trophy and also won a national championship. And he's got 2 years, or at least one more year, that he's going to spend definitely in college. So he's a household name, and he's still in college. Jameis Winston was a redshirt freshman because he had to wait a year for a guy by the name of E.J. Manuel, to leave Florida State and end up getting drafted number 16 overall by the Buffalo Bills. E.J. Manuel is currently the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback. So, you know, you say, okay, you must not be that good, Jameis Winston. You're a redshirt. Well, yeah, but the guy who I redshirted behind was a 16th overall pick in the NFL draft. That goes to show you the type of talent some of these big-time schools have. A Florida State doesn't rebuild their program. They just reload. Jimbo Fisher loses his quarterback, who is good enough to be number 16 overall in the NFL draft, but the guy that's waiting in the wings is a Heisman Trophy winner. But would Jameis have even got the opportunity to become a Heisman Trophy winner if he didn't play his cards right when he was number two, when he was redshirting? I know many high recruits that ended up redshirting, and they were so mad, they were so disgruntled, that they end up transferring or totally falling out with the coaching staff before they even get a shot to get on the field. So Jameis Winston must have done something right when he was on scouting. He must have done something right when he was sitting there watching E.J. Manuel, because not only did he get the ball that following year to be the starting quarterback of Florida State, he took him to a national championship and won a Heisman Trophy because he played his cards right as the number two guy. So I actually, for those who don't know, we do have a call-in number. It's area code 310-807-5195. We always love call-ins. I love to hear from the young athletes because you guys are the ones in the thick of things. You guys are the ones right now either fighting to keep your spot or you're fighting to take somebody's spot. And it's always great to hear you guys' perspective on things. So if you want to call in, feel free to call in and give us your feelings or your story on what you're going through right now. And if you've got a good attitude behind it, if you've been able to keep a strong attitude behind being the second man, or if you feel like that's something that you need help with. I see we have one caller, and I think it's our good friend Mario out of the great state of Texas, and this is a kid who's definitely in the thick of things, and he's fighting to stay on the field as well. So I appreciate you for staying on hold, Mario. Let's see if we can patch you in and see if you're still there. Hello, Mario.
Hello, Coach.
Are you with us in the locker room?
Hello, Coach.
Hey, can you hear me, buddy?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, you know, you're a frequent caller, and we love the calls, man. We know that you're engaged and that you're soaking all this in, and I know you're going to become a better player for it. What's on your mind tonight? We're kind of talking about how guys should approach being second string or trying to take somebody's job. What are you thinking about this subject?
You just like, what you're talking about, you brought me up when I was a sophomore in varsity. There was a senior already had the spot, the starting spot. I was just a sophomore. I was his backup. So all I did, study the plays, everything, got ready for my time. Whenever it would hit the field, hit the weights, hit the gym, worked on my footwork, everything. And then, well, freak accident, he got hurt. And, well, the coach said, hey, Mario, go in. And ever since, boom, I've been hitting it. Every play, driving the guys back and forth, and until the guy came back, he had to fight for his spot back. I was doing the job twice as hard, twice as fast, and twice as with passion.
So you were only a sophomore, and you were still ready to take that opportunity? You felt like you were ready to jump in there?
Yep.
Well, that's a great story, Mario, and that's why, you know, you're such a strong player. And I think Khalif Barnes touched upon this too, is that you're a kid that the coaches can count on.
Yes. it was mostly, you know, like you're barely going as a sophomore. You're barely going to hit varsity, getting what's the plays and everything. Well, I learned the plays and everything. I studied the playbook. I worked on my steps, worked on my footwork, hit the weights and everything. And now when my opportunity came, it came. I took advantage of it.
Great stuff, Mario. Well, man, we appreciate the call-in as usual, and you always have great examples that really bring our teaching points to light. So I appreciate you calling in tonight, buddy, and that's a great story.
Sure thing, Coach.
All right, talk to you later. So there is another great example from the great Mario from the state of Texas. But once again, you know, there's a player who didn't even know if he was going to get in as a sophomore playing on varsity. And sure enough, a guy goes down because it's the nature of the game. And young Mario was ready to jump in there and even perform better than the backup. And how many times do we see that? You know, how many, especially at the collegiate level and sometimes even at the pro level, somebody will go down and the person that comes in is playing better than the starter. And you're like, where did this guy come from? Well, that's somebody that was prepared and probably just as good as the starter, but for whatever reason just didn't get his shot right out of the gates. But he was prepared, ready to go, and it's showing up on the field. You know, when you look at why a player is second string, you always got to evaluate things. As young players, you always want to evaluate where you're at and where you're going. When you look at why a player is second string, in my mind, it's one of two reasons typically. It's either because the person starting in front of you has more talent or production, or the other thing is the politics. And sometimes it can be a combination of both. So an example of the talent production thing is if I get drafted to the Miami Heat and I know I'm competing with LeBron James, well, you know, LeBron James is just such a phenomenal talent and his production is so high. You know, he's an NBA player of the year. He's an MVP. You know, that, okay, I get why I'm sitting on the bench for Miami Heat, because I'm just, you know, I have to be real with myself. The person in front of me is better than me. But sometimes we get caught in a situation as young players where the person in front of you might not be better than you. He may be the same, or he may be, and really the same is tough. I'm a believer that there really is never the same. There's always a differentiator, you know, that you can find between players. Maybe one works harder. Maybe one pays attention more. I always think there's a differentiator between players, but maybe you guys are very similar. Or maybe he is not as good as you, but the politics are coming into play. I'm a veteran. He's a high draft pick, so he's going to play regardless. I'm a young player. He's a senior. He's going to play regardless. He's the coach's kid. You know, he's the coach's his dad. You know, or maybe, hey, I've been getting injured and the coach doesn't trust me because I'm injury prone. So those are the type of things that fall into the political realm. Those are the politics of football. And most guys are second string because they're either falling into the politics of things or the guy who's ahead of them is just that much more talented than them. And once again, it can be a combination of both. So what we always have to understand as young players, you guys, and I really want you guys to get this, whether it's a teaching topic or it's somebody who comes into the locker room and is really feeding into you guys and supporting you guys, I always want you guys to remember that you're always being evaluated. Always. If you show up late for that meeting, you're being evaluated. If coach told you something three times and you missed it a fourth, you're being evaluated. If you don't know your place, you're being evaluated. You know, so even when you're second string, please believe you're being evaluated. And the way you go through that is going to hold so much for you. So once again, this is a topic that I feel so passionately about that it's actually a chapter in the Before You Go Pro book. And it's in chapter 35, and once again, this is called Blessing Others While Waiting for Yours. So I'm going to give you guys a little piece of the book here, and hopefully you can really grab some advice out of this. It's cliche, but remember that Rome wasn't built in one day. All great things and great people are developed over time. Everything from computer software to society is constantly under pressure to change for the better. People are no different if you have to be second, and people are no different, excuse me. If you have to be second fiddle to someone else, don't spend your time envying that person. Accept the challenge as waiting for your opportunity and perfecting your craft. Be patiently impatient. Study that person with every intention of incorporating what he does well into your own unique package of skills. If you waste your time filled with jealousy, then you're also wasting your time to get better. Hatred never pays the bills. It only piles them higher. So what that is talking about is a lot of guys get envious when they're second to somebody, especially if they feel like they've been wronged, especially if they feel like they're second because of the politics. It happens in corporate America. It happens when that guy who's African-American or that woman doesn't get the CEO job they thought they should get, and they can get bitter and they can get jealous instead of concentrating on what can make them better as a potential prospect. So keep that in mind, you guys. If you're not number one, then that means you have an opportunity to get better and learn. You know, what doesn't kill you can always make you stronger. So if you're not number one, you take it as an opportunity to get better and learn. And what I really want to leave you guys with tonight is some bullet points, you know, that you can keep in mind as you go along your journey. Some of you guys don't have to worry about this as much because maybe somebody's chasing you down for your position. So you better be careful and you better do the things that got you to the first string. For others, you guys are chasing something or you're chasing somebody. You know, maybe you're new at that high school and you want to get the senior's job like Mario. Maybe you're a new recruit at the University of Georgia and you need to find a way to impress the coaching staff. Maybe you're a rookie in the NFL and you got a veteran in front of you. You know, we all have different angles to the journey that we take, and we got to figure out what's the best approach from A to B within my journey. So when we're looking at some bullet points and some things to think about, you know, there's a losing mentality for a second-string player. And the losing mentality is somebody who is always complaining. They're always nagging to the coach. They're always talking negative to all the other players in the locker room, and they're really cancerous. The other thing they do is they have no team spirit. They get jealous. They get bitter. If somebody else makes a play, they don't want to applaud them. And you guys got to remember, how you treat people is how people will treat you. So if you're the second string guy and you're talking bad all the time about the first string guy, then what do you think people will do to you when you're first string? So, you know, another losing mentality for a second string player is somebody who doesn't have any team spirit. What you see with a lot of second and third string players is that their work ethic goes down the toilet. I know it did for me at times, where I was so stressed out, I was so depressed over my playing situation that my work ethic wasn't as strong. So you have to watch that. Another thing is that they start ill-wishing, they have ill will towards other players. They're wanting guys to get hurt or guys to mess up. And that is just not, I'm a real big believer that karma and things like that come back to you. And you never, ever want to wish for somebody to get hurt on them so that you can get an opportunity. You work your way into your opportunity. So if we're going to talk about the losing things that a second-string player thinks about or acts upon, then you know we got to talk about the winning thing that the second-string player does, or the player that just wants more playing time, or the player that wants his number called more. You may be a starting receiver, but your number never gets called. You know, your play never gets called. So how are ways for me to get noticed, for me to get my number called, or for me to take somebody's job? One way is always encourage others. So you're always supporting your team, and you're showing that you're a team player. Another way, you guys, is finding a way to get noticed. Now, I know that's broad, but there is always something that your coach likes or something that he notices, you know, whether it's getting in earlier, whether it's staying later, whether it's both. You know, if it's watching film and really knowing your stuff on film, there are things that coaches love. You need to find out what your coach loves and do it more if you're the second guy. Number three is increase effort and attention. Put more effort into your drills. Put more effort into asking questions. You know, put more attention into your playbook when you're the second string guy. And then fourth is focus on the little things. Focus on the little things. Nobody is perfect. The guy in front of you is doing something wrong or doing something that he could do better. What is it? You need to find out what that is and do it better than he is. And always, always remember, as a second string player with a winning attitude, is that you're always only one play away. You're always only one play away from your opportunity coming. You don't want your family to be in the stands. You're not prepared. Your opportunity comes, and you let it slip through your hands. So, once again, this is blessing others while waiting for yours. You know, you want to bless others. You want to do well. There's enough to go around, you guys. Trust me. I know there may be only two starting spots on that in that defensive backfield at the cornerback spot. Or I know there may be only one spot for the quarterback. But there is some way that you will get your shot. And when you get your shot, you're going to have a better chance of keeping it if you bless others while waiting for yours. When that kid on your team gets the scholarship to Cal or gets the scholarship to North Carolina, be happy for them. Be happy for them because yours is coming soon. Trust me, yours is coming soon. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's locker room show. It was a pleasure coming in here. As always, once again, tune in Thursday night because we're going to have young Dustin Woods come in, and this is just a former player with an amazing testimony, and he's going to help you guys start thinking about what you want to do during and after football, and then also how to grasp that and start working towards that even during your playing days. So Dustin Woods is coming in. He's an Olympic coach and somebody you will definitely get a lot of good knowledge from. Check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. We've got a crazy May coming up. We've got all kind of camps and combines and different things going on. Keep an eye out for our book. We've even made some revisions to the book that will be re-released probably in about a week or so here. So keep your eye out for that book, and we just can't wait to get back in the locker room with you. So hopefully you guys got a kick out of tonight, and always remember to bless others while waiting for yours. We'll see you at the top. Bye-bye.